Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about no-touch resupply. And here to talk about that is Mike Lorenz. Mike is the vice president of resupply for industry software company, Brightree. Mike, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
So let's dive in because we've talked to you guys before about different aspects of resupply, such as expanding resupply beyond sleep and those sorts of things. And what is meant by no touch resupply?
Great question, Dave. So by no touch resupply, it's really pretty simple. I'll define it in two different ways. One is the ability of a DME to provide their patients medical supplies without using any employee labor, right? And so it's, hey, a patient needs something, they get it. No one at the DME had to do anything. So that's kind of definition number one. If you want to get a little more detailed, it's can a customer place an order for supplies and receive those supplies quickly, following all the rules and regulations you need to, without an employee being involved.
Got it. And let's rewind a bit before talking about automation, just to kind of give everybody a level set. What did it take originally to process resupply orders? You know, what were kind of the steps before this no touch concept?
Great. Yeah. There are a lot of steps in here that need to happen, and before you automate them, they're obviously being done manually. The first step is order generation, right? It's getting a customer order, which sounds easy. Hey, we're going to contact a customer and figure out what they need. But it's actually a little trickier than that because you have to understand which customers are eligible, what they're eligible for, how they like to get contacted. So order generation just by itself is a pretty complex piece. After order generation, there's insurance verification. Hey, we got the order from the customer, what is their insurance? Are they still covered? How much do they need to pay? All that fun stuff. After insurance verification, you figured out, okay, we know who the insurer is for this customer. Then you have to figure out, okay, what are the insurer's document rules? And so understanding the document rules of that payer and then reviewing all the documentation for the patient to make sure that, hey, this patient is good to go. We can send them their supplies and we're actually going to get paid for this, et cetera. Kind of at the end of that, usually there's a QA step that a lot of companies do if they're doing this manually, where they have someone go and double check everything. Since it is so complex, somebody at the end of the line, double check everything, make sure all got done correctly. After that step, a lot of times it's okay, we're going to send this thing to the warehouse, whether it's an internal warehouse, an external shipper, send it to the warehouse to get sent out to the patient. Then after that, another step would be verifying, hey, did the box actually leave the warehouse? Let's make sure the customer knows that the box left the warehouse and give them a tracking number. And then finally, it's, get that order into the provider's billing system so they can invoice the payer for those supplies. So those are kind of the basic steps. And if you don't automate them, you have to do them manually.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it sounds to me like if things are done manually, every one of those steps represents kind of a cacophony of mouse clicks.
Yeah, it's not only a lot of mouse clicks, it's a lot of complexity. Yeah. So when you think about the environment, there are, I think there's something like 85,000 diagnosis codes out there, 6,000-7,000 HCPCS codes, dozens of documents that may need to be in place, hundreds of doctors, hundreds or thousands of payers. You start multiplying those numbers together, and all of a sudden you've got a number with 9 zeros behind it or 10 zeros behind it on the complexity of a single order of, hey, can I give them this thing based on that, based on this, based on that? So it isn't just, hey, there's a lot of clicks to move this along. There's a lot of complexity and complex decision-making to do it.
Yeah. And a fair bit of dialoguing as well. Okay. So now let's fast forward back to this no touch concept. How can the resupply process be automated? What are kind of the steps there?
This is the fun part. It's one of those things where it might sound a little simple to describe, but it's incredibly complex to execute. And so I'll start with the basics. How do you automate something like this? Well, the process that we described earlier of, hey, there's a lot of steps with incredibly complex decision-making. What tools do we have at our disposal to do incredibly complex decision-making? With software. Software is designed for that. What's not designed for that? People. When you start saying, hey, there's 3 trillion combinations of what can happen with this order, you want software to be making those decisions as much as possible instead of humans. But how do you get the software to do it? It's data. It is 100% about data. Your software has to have the correct data. It's the foundation of everything. And so I'll walk through how a fully automated order works and kind of highlight the data that happens along the way. And just know that this is exemplary, but there are a million things I'm going to leave out just for the sake of time.
But go for it. That'd be interesting.
Great. So you start with order generation, right? Our software is going to understand via the data inside of it a lot of information about the patient, who the patient's insurer was the last time we talked to them, when the last time they ordered was, what the equipment was the last time they ordered. Based on that information, are they eligible for more stuff? When are they eligible? How soon can it be shipped? How soon can you talk to them? When all of the things line up, all of those attributes line up, the software is going to reach out automatically to the patient. It's going to send them a text message and or send them an email and or notify them on an app that, hey, you're eligible for resupply. And so if the patient chooses to interact that way, the patient will either, open up, click on a link in their email, click on a link in their text, or open up the app, and our software will, provide for them, hey, here's all the stuff you're eligible for. And they'll actually be placing the order directly into the software. So, all of the items they're eligible for, if there are patient interaction requirements from their payer, like for instance, Medicare will, require, hey, you've got to ask some questions. Are you out of your supplies? And, why do you need this? And et cetera, et cetera. Those questions are asked right in that interface with the patient. So the patient will be placing their order directly into the system. And so that's automating the order generation process, right? No employee had to touch that. You move on to insurance verification. Again, our software believes it knows what your insurance is for that patient because of the previous interactions. It's going to reach out to a clearinghouse and say, hey, is John Smith still insured by United Healthcare? Certain parameters. If the answer comes back yes, great. We've automated that insurance verification step. Knowing the insurance, our software is going to look at the documentation requirements, right? So knowing the insurance requires, various documentation, it's going to look at all of the documents in our system. And this is another point where the data is super critical. Anytime a document comes into our resupply software, we not only ingest the picture of the piece of paper, we ingest the data that's on the paper. So, hey, this is a prescription. Dr. Smith signed it on this day. Here are all the HCPCS that are on this order. Is this prescription qualified for Medicare based on the items that are on here and the structure of the prescription? All of those attributes. So that not only is the document saved, the data is saved along with the document. So when it comes to this step in the process, our software can say, hey, we've got all the documentation we need. No one needs to look at this. Keep moving. Our software will then say, hey, we've got an order. The insurance has been verified. The documentation is there. It's basically doing the full QA process by itself. It's time to send this order to the warehouse. The software will send the order to the warehouse, whether it's internal or external, get a notification back from the warehouse, hey, this order is shipped and here's the tracking number. The software will then send that patient the tracking information. Hey, congratulations, your order is shipped. It's on the way. Here's your tracking number. They can click on the link to follow it, et cetera. And then the software will send that order over to the billing system, adding any pertinent information that's required for that supplies order. So from start to finish, the system has used information on the patient, on their equipment, on their payer, on their documents, et cetera, and automated the entire process.
Wow. So it sounds like there's a lot of different technologies involved here. Maybe you could go into that a little bit, sort of the different things that are making that level of automation possible.
Yeah, it is pretty exciting. Some of the stuff that we're able to do and some of the things that are on our roadmap going forward. We're always trying to move what we call the efficiency frontiers even farther. How do we get to 100% automation of everything? It's probably a goal you'll never reach, but continuing to move down that path is our goal. So what kind of technology? You know, basically, obviously storing a tremendous amount of data and then figuring out how to quickly and efficiently comb through that data is the biggest piece of technology that we've got. But the core of the value proposition here is all of this data working together. The tricky problem that we have solved that we haven't seen anyone else solve is forcing data to be stored in a consistent way, all of the data that is necessary, and having rules based on that data that all interact with each other in harmony, if you will, to get that information processed and turned into an order. So for example, the tricky problem of payer information and payer rules, we see a lot of different ways that competitors or even people outside of the space think, hey, it's very easy to go get a patient order. I can design an app where a patient can say, hey, I want, you know, this mask and this tube and all this fun stuff. You know, that's the easy part. The hard part is knowing when they're eligible for it and what needs to happen afterwards and all of the information around that patient and their documents to move it through the process. So, you know, we've solved the tricky problem of capturing all the data end to end and making it work together to get this process done.
Got it. And you mentioned written orders. So is there like, what is it? Optical character recognition, you know, ingesting like fax orders and stuff like that as well?
So yeah, that's a fantastic question. I'll kind of tackle it in two parts. One, it is, frustrating that we're in an industry that still is heavily reliant on faxing. You know, we won't go into, you know, how we got here or why we're still here, et cetera. But you know, we know that it is a way of life for a large portion of this industry. And so instead of fighting the tide, we said, hey, how do we work with this and automate it as much as possible? So for the faxing example, we automate a lot of this data in two ways. One, we generate automatic document requests from our software. So when our software says, hey, you know, for Dave, his prescription expired, we can't send him any more stuff. Our software will automatically reach out to the doctor, sending them a fax saying, hey, please sign this. And on the fax is a perfect prescription. Here's all the stuff Dave is ever gonna need for his order. It will be barcoded. So when that prescription comes back, we can read it. We'll understand everything that's on that prescription and kind of pre-populate that data. For faxes, we don't trust that Dave's doctor hasn't crossed something out or added an item or changed a date or done something. So we require an employee to take a quick look at it, just make sure, hey, yeah, this thing was signed and here's the date it was signed, et cetera. It's about a 5-second process because so much of the data has been pre-populated in the system. It's just kind of a last double check, click here, is this all good? Press save. Then the data is in the system along with the image, the signature, all that fun stuff. So never needs to be opened again. The software understands the data. But the second example is much more exciting and it is the future. And that example is there are, you know, multiple e-prescribing platforms out there that they don't pass around pieces of paper or even pictures of pieces of paper, which is what, you know, images of faxes are. They pass around data. And we love data. I'll keep talking about data until we're done because data is the fuel in our engine. So we are connecting in with e-prescribe platforms where we can automatically outreach through those e-prescribe platforms for a prescription for a patient. When those prescriptions come back with an electronic signature and all the data on them, no one ever has to look at it. You know, these things have been electronically verified in sending back to us. So that is a truly no touch, not only in processing the order, but in going to get a brand new document for a patient. So that's the wave of the future. It's how fast can we get the entire industry there? I have no idea, but that's how things should work. And we're actively working to get there.
So obviously this is some really exciting stuff happening, you know, and I know you guys have been involved in the Commonwealth Alliance and all that as well. We're in this weird transitional state between electronic integration and still having to deal with legacy stuff like faxes. I can feel your pain, but I'm also fascinated by the technology solutions you're coming up with to kind of live in this, to help providers live in this world where they have one foot in the past and one foot in the future. Let's look at the business case here. How much does this automation improve resupply performance? Have you guys, done any statistics, or can you quantify it in any way?
Yes, we can. Being a system driven on data, we've got the data. We love analyzing this, not only to see the impact we have, but to look for future opportunities. So, these numbers just continue to grow, but I'll give you some kind of general statistics, because it's different for every provider, depending on where a provider's at when they move onto the platform. We see an uptick in performance, anywhere from 25% to 50% growth in revenue for providers that come onto our platform. And it's really because we are reaching more of their patients faster, getting their orders out of the door faster, so we get them more orders per year. These patients are getting their medical supplies much quicker. When I was talking about automating the process earlier, we see orders, a large portion of orders get to the warehouse the same day that the patient entered that order in the system. And a lot of times it's within an hour or two. So a patient wants something, it's in the warehouse within an hour or two. They're getting it within a day or two, depending on shipping times. When you think about the value of a day, if you take a week to send an order out, you're going to lose one order per year. You can only do four orders per year if you get those orders out really quickly every time. Otherwise, you're getting three orders out a year. So that patient isn't getting their equipment. You're not getting the revenue from helping meet that need. So we see a big jump in revenue just kind of in year one. And for the patients you have now, how many more supplies are you sending them? In helping them stay on therapy, which is kind of the segue into the longer term picture. You're helping these patients stay on therapy. These patients now stay with you much longer as a provider. So we see on average patients moving from kind of staying on therapy 3 years before they get on the platform to staying 5 years once they're on the platform. So not only are you getting more orders to those patients, you're keeping them on for an extra 2 years of those more orders. So really, it's almost an exponential curve. It isn't a straight line. It's a curve up and to the right on the impact for both the provider and their patients. So it's just super exciting to see that, where you say, hey, these patients are getting their stuff faster, they're getting more of the stuff they need, and they're staying on therapy longer. So it's really rewarding, just kind of from a inspirational standpoint, as well as obviously the financial performance for our customers.
Yeah. And I was going to say, if you're having better outcomes, that probably means an increased patient volume from your referral partners, because of course, reimbursement is tied to outcomes for sleep therapy. So let's follow that thought for a second. What are providers leaving on the table if they don't push towards automating their resupply?
It's a long list. So what you leave on the table, if you think about just the very first part, I'll break this into two parts, kind of the order generation and the order processing. The first part on order generation, if you're not reaching patients in the way they want to be reached, that's how you're losing some of these patients, right? We're like, why do they stay 3 years instead of 5 years? At some point in that third year, they ran into a bump that was frustrating for them, or you couldn't solve as a provider, and they fell off. And what we see a lot of times is, many of these resupply programs rely on, outbound calling or other things kind of as their only mode of contact. Patients today, a lot of people will not answer the phone. I in particular don't answer, my phone when I don't recognize the number. So having the different modalities, where you can reach out via email, via text, have an app, have a portal. We have all of those things. So patients can be reached in the way they want to be reached. They can interact in the way they want to interact. You're leaving on the table a bunch of patients that don't want to do it the way you've always done it. That's kind of at the front end. On the back end, it's very similar. Hey, you've reached a patient, they want their stuff, but for whatever reason, you're not processing the paperwork, getting things back from the doctor, interacting with the insurance company in a way that is efficient enough for that patient. They get frustrated waiting several weeks for their supplies. They cancel an order and they go online, they do whatever. We're in a society where people have been conditioned by players like Amazon to say, hey, I want something. I go on my phone, I click a button, it's there later today or tomorrow or the next day, and there's no problems. So that's what you're competing with as a provider, is that mindset. So not being able to automate that process and get your patients their supplies quickly and correctly, so obviously you get paid on the back end for what you supply, really puts you at a disadvantage.
Wow. And that's, I think the second time I've heard that recently in speaking with Brightree, is the concept of patient experience, and specifically the Amazon customer service experience, and how that's really kind of raised expectations to a considerable degree.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you just look at the environment out there, we know our providers are competing on a variety of different axes across the market. But one of them is, you know, patient expectations on how they'll get served. And so we want to make sure they get the best experience anywhere. And so they stick with our providers, and our providers become the preferred source of medical supplies for them. It also, you know, enables them to grow their business into other, business lines if they provide a great patient experience and their patients love or prefer working with them over other providers.
So, you know, we talked about kind of straddling two modalities earlier when it talks to technology, but this is an interesting one when it comes to patient engagement and automation. There still has to be a human touch at some point, right? You know, what parts of resupply still benefit from human interaction?
That's a great question. And, you know, there's always going to be a place for humans in interaction with patients. And when we look at this process, we're looking at, hey, where are there just, you know, one versus zero, or if then or yes, no decisions to be made? And that's a software chore. When it's a interact with a patient that has a complex problem, or, you know, is struggling or frustrated, you know, that's a fantastic job for a human. Software does a poor job of that. Anyone that's dialed into a customer service department somewhere and tried to get through the phone tree to just, I want to talk to a human. Your phone tree doesn't understand my problems. It can really understand, that use case. So, you know, we think that having humans talk to people when they do have a problem, or, you know, when they do prefer that method of order generation, you know, we still see over half of orders coming in via phone contact with patients. So there's a large portion of patients that still do like talking to a human on the other end. And when they do have a problem, they do want to call in and talk to somebody. Or if they want to engage even via text messaging, you know, with their provider, it's great if there's a human on the other end that can read that text or that email and interact with that patient really in an understanding way that humans are fantastic at. It's just let's take humans out of complex decision making and put them into patient interaction, and I think everybody wins.
Yeah, that's, and it's funny how that that thread is finding itself it kind of weaving into more and more of different processes at provider businesses. You know, where does the provider leverage its human interaction strengths versus, you know, what parts does it automate or offload in some way? So what categories of resupply are we talking about for this? Obviously, you know, resupply is, you know, in different categories of HME. I'm sure sleep is one of them, but what categories are you focused on for this no-touch resupply?
Yeah, great question. Sleep is the category where we are farthest down the path. We have something like 2.5 million sleep patients on therapy that we're interacting with on a regular basis for our providers. So that's the largest pool of patients. We've made the most progress in automating it, but we see resupply much broader than that. So further up the road. We have other disease states that you can currently service within Brightree Resupply software. There's diabetes, enteral, ostomy, several other categories that almost anything that an HME provider will service their patient for, we have a platform to do it. Sleep is just the farthest down the path, and we've got several other disease states that are right behind it. And we're just going to be rolling them out kind of one at a time to continue moving this no-touch resupply out to the market. We're just very careful about how we do that in that when you make something no-touch, you have to do it right. You've got to do it absolutely correct. So, we expect to have a new disease state roll out next year, possibly two. If not two next year, that'll be one the year after. So we're just continuing to work with our providers saying, hey, where can you use the help? And then we're leveraging our resources to bring that same playbook to those other disease states. So stay tuned, early next year, we'll be talking about, the next phase of no touch for other disease states.
Awesome. Well, keep me in mind when you do, because I'd love to learn about it. Okay. So providers listening to this, they say, hey, this makes sense to me. What are kind of the implementation steps for a provider that's thinking about integrating no-touch resupply into their business? Do you guys offer some kind of roadmap?
Yeah, absolutely. Having 2.5 million patients, we've done this a lot. We've done this a lot of times, and we've developed a pretty disciplined playbook for how to do it. It's going to be different for every provider. It's going to depend on how your process is set up, what disease state you're trying to work with, what billing systems you use, what documentation systems you use. There's a bunch of different variables out there. And really, the core fundamentals are, how do we capture the data where it currently sits, put it in the correct resupply platform, map all the systems together, turn it on, help you monitor it and understand it, and then you're off to the races. But we've got a whole team dedicated around helping customers implement this, and they do a fantastic job.
So if providers are interested in learning more, Mike, how can they get started? Where can they find out more information from Brightree?
Great. Yeah, a couple easy spots that you can email info@brightree.com or just go to brightree.com and ask for more information, and we'll have some great people reach out to you.
Okay. Well, Mike, thanks very much for stopping by the podcast and sharing some information.
No problem. Thanks, Dad.
All right. Well, thanks again to Mike Lawrence for taking some time to talk about how Brightree is automating resupply. It's always neat to see how Brightree is helping providers take HME to the next level. Again, if you want to find out more information about that, you can go to www.brightree.com or email info@brightree.com. I think we'll close things up for the podcast. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that is happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine or the digital edition there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and we're on LinkedIn now as well. And I'm Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me. You can hit me up via email at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Or again, I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling topics like no-touch resupply. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.